that individually violated the special theory of relativity, with only the final answer consistent with the theory of relativity. Meanwhile, Richard Feynman, Julian Schwinger, and Shinichiro Tomonaga were independently developing much simpler methods of calculation that are consistent with the theory of relativity at every step. They used these techniques to do other calculations, some of them in spectacular agreement with experiment. For instance, the electron has a tiny magnetic field, originally calculated in 1928 by Dirac on the basis of his relativistic quantum theory of the electron. Right after the Shelter Island conference, Schwinger published the results of an approximate calculation of the shift in the strength of the electron's magnetic field that is caused by processes in which virtual photons are emitted and reabsorbed. This calculation has been continually refined since then, with the modern result that the magnetic field of the electron is increased by photon emissions and reabsorptions and similar effects by a factor 1.00115965214, with an uncertainty of about 3 in the last digit, over the old Dirac prediction, in which these photon emissions and reabsorptions had been ignored. At just about the time that Schwinger was doing his calculation, experiments by I.I. Rabi and his group at Columbia were revealing that the electron's magnetic field is indeed a little larger than the old Dirac value, and by just about the amount calculated by Schwinger. A recent experimental result is that the magnetic field of the electron is greater than the Dirac value by a factor 1.00115965218, with an uncertainty of about 4 in the last digit. The numerical agreement between theory and experiment here is perhaps the most impressive in all science. After such successes, it is not surprising that quantum electrodynamics, in its simple, renormalizable version, has become generally accepted as the correct theory of photons and electrons. Nevertheless, despite the experimental success of the theory, and even though the infinities in this theory all cancel when one handles them correctly, the fact that the infinities occur at all continues to produce grumbling about quantum electrodynamics and similar theories. Dirac, in particular, always referred to renormalization as sweeping the infinities under the rug. I disagreed with Dirac, and argued the point with him at conferences at Coral Gables and Lake Constance. Taking account of the difference between the bare charge and mass of the electron and their measured values is not merely a trick that is invented to get rid of infinities. It is something we would have to do even if everything was finite.